Hello, my friends. Jacob's here one more time. Thank you for pressing the play button, for spending a little quality QT time with me as we talk about an ancient biblical prophecy that I think literally has just been fulfilled. Like, literally been fulfilled. I always understood it to be something that was spiritual in nature, and I wanted to address it for a while, but I never really got the right prompting until today. Now, many of you, I'm sure, if you're new to the channel, welcome. I'm Jacob Israel. I'm a speculator. I take things that happen in the world, and I kind of attach a spiritual significance to it. And today, I have something that is so incredibly spiritual, so incredibly mind-blowing, and just encouraging that it could change the way you see the future. A future that I've been saying for a while may indeed happen, and here it is. The judge in Trump's case says that it will be televised. Now, Trump's been holding on to some stuff, and I said, well, we never saw this coming. Of course, this court case would be televised and streamed. How else would the whole world find out that we've been biding our time? Could you imagine how upset people would be if the things that he said happened actually happened? He's been going off on Truth Social, posting video after video.
But to every tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words, we will not comply.
So notice how he is speaking on your behalf. He's telling you that you won't do it.
So don't even think about it. We will not shut down our schools. We will not accept your lockdowns.
Wasn't it his administration that locked everyone down and mandated things to begin with?
We will not abide by your mask mandates.
But the mandates began with his administration. This was long before we started biding our time. It started with him. Sounds to me like he's rewriting history, not to mention that he says that he is the father of the wackadoo. This has been my dilemma since before the contested election to begin with. Now that the judge is going to let everything be televised, I just feel like there's more to the story. Long before people saw Trump losing, I did. And I wondered if it was all part of the plan. I wondered if this was some kind of a big show. So I have a dream. It's a very strange dream. I don't pay much attention to it. In the dream, and it was a couple of them, but this one was the one that stood out the most. In the dream, I, for some reason, was like with one arm was carrying like the casket of our president. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but it was open. But on the left-hand side of me, there was our president. So it was very strange. There was like, you know, it was one in the casket with the casket wide open. There was also, I remember there being like, I noticed there was moss on the bottom of the casket, moss that was growing there. But in the dream, you know, the president was, he was smiling, he was laughing, he was having a great old time. And here I am carrying this, and I didn't understand. I'm like, oh, and then I woke up and I'm like, oh, I get it. It's gonna be like a fake thing.
Who has heard the poem called The Snake?
Now, before all of you start thinking that I'm just going to say, oh, he's the bad guy, and this is the bad guy that's coming to get us, I want you all to remember something. I mean, there's a possibility that he was misled. Just because the mandate started with him, just because warp speed started with him, just because MAGA means witch, it doesn't mean that the guy's a bad guy. Just because he loves to read the poem, The Snake, doesn't mean he's a bad guy. I mean, he could just be kind of a goofball who makes some mistakes. And maybe he's seen the error of his ways. And that's what I've been praying for. And that's why today's show is so amazing. So let's get into it.
The Snake.
So I'm working on a huge show about the, we got a couple of comments coming in. Not even going to touch that today. Got a big live stream coming on that because we have interesting times ahead. That's why this video right now is so important. And I do a little praying. I say, okay, Lord, what do I got to do? I was in a good mood this morning. I woke up. I'm like, Lord, inspire me. And I get to the gym and I start to exercise and I go and I open up, you know, because I want to hear from all of you, whether you email me or you DM me or you send me stuff on Patreon. I get back to everybody. I try to at least. And this guy, Wooden, over here, I think he's like a samurai or something. He points out something about the banyan tree. Now, Many of you have sent me emails about the banyan tree. There is a very famous 115-year-old banyan fig tree. Is this starting to get interesting? Because you know me and the fig tree on this channel. This is an interesting show. Believe me, it's going to leave you with the chills for sure. But this tree right here, which was brought over in like the 1800s, Protestant missionaries originally imported this tree from India in 1873 at the request of Queen Kapakapaluiluilini. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Protestant missionaries originally brought this tree over from India in 1873 and was to commemorate the 50th anniversary of something huge that went on in that area. And it has to do with Christianity, of all things. That fig tree represents Christianity in a roundabout way. After the first Christian arrivals to Maui 50 years later, this tree was planted. It's a banyan tree. It's a member of the fig family, and yes, it actually produces fruit. And it's mainly known for India, but it does really well in tropical climates. Wasn't much when it got there originally, but now, today, it stood before the terrible fires. It was the largest fig tree in the United States. That says something. And it was a historic landmark in Lahaina itself. It spanned almost 2 acres across. Look at how big it was. It is a striking symbol of endurance for a community that has long struggled to preserve its multicultural heritage against an onslaught of transience, tourism, and developmental pressures. That's what they put in this one thing. But this tree represents the influence of Christianity. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The banyan tree is not just something that is connected to Christianity. In fact, fig trees are connected to like every major holy book. And the reason why Wooden sent me that was because a book called the Bhagavad Gita, which is a book that I've read many, many times. It's where Lord Krishna comes down with a man named Arjuna. And there's this huge battle that's about to be waged. And the two of them, they have this cosmic talk. And do you know what he says the banyan tree is? It's a symbol of God, the creator. The creator itself. God is this banyan tree. It's a tree of life. Now we know that the tree of life is very important too. In the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, which Adam, when he was cast out of the garden, there was no way back in unless he faced the angel with the flaming sword. That's another show. But this tree of life, it's still available today. It's still available within each and every one of us, but it was laid to the root. Now, the reason why I didn't talk about the banyan tree, the reason why I didn't talk about this important historic tree in Lahaina is because I didn't want to come on here and say, oh, you know, look at it, it's burnt to the ground and that's it. You know, the news hadn't come out yet whether or not they were going to be able to save it. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Because it turns out they got like a team of arborists and everybody else, and they're working together. And they say the roots are good, the stump that's in the ground, which is interesting because I have a fig tree here too. And every year we've had issues with it. Remember last year I got one single fruit? I shared this in my last video. You know what? Take a look. This is the fig tree. I don't know if you remember correctly, but last year the fig tree it didn't come back. And all of the branches were dead. And if you look at the branches, it's interesting. A fig tree branch, it's like bone white, like almost bones. But if you remember correctly, I broke all of the sticks. Now, last year, this fig tree produced one fruit. And I was upset. And then I was worried. And I thought, oh, no, it's not going to come back. I'm like, Lord, what are we going to do? So I broke all of the branches. And I said, I gave up on it. Then, out of the blue, this thing just started coming to life. And now there is literally fruit. I don't know if you can see this. I mean, this is immature fruit. That's the only thing. I know a lot of people are bragging about their fig trees and how they're like, oh, we have so much fruit on it. Oh, and we're making fig Newtons out of everybody's telling me. And I'm jealous. It's true. I'm very jealous. But, you know, it's like this year, there's fruit literally on every branch. This year, the fig tree has more fruit on it than ever before. But here we have in Lahaina, we have this tree that everyone thought was a goner. But now it looks like it's just kind of like in a coma. It's like sleeping, and it's waiting to be birthed again. It's waiting to be birthed again. So I put a little poem out because this hit me very hard, because this connected, I believe, too. You know, and I'm not going to say that the Lord has told me this, but this is what's inspired me. I prayed, Lord, give me something to talk about, and then it hit me. I talked about a tree being laid to the stump, and that it was going to be in the earth for a time, and that it was going to come back as if it was like rising from the dead again. And it's in connection with President Donald Trump. In this video right here, Nebuchadnezzar's End Time Dream Realized, I think was the title of it. And in this video, which I shared a dream that I had, which basically over the years we've kind of come to find out that it was has to do with what happened on January 6th, has to do with what's happening with Hunter Biden and the laptop, all of this stuff I shared in that video about the storming of what happened at the Capitol and more. But what I said was, I said that Donald Trump was like Nebuchadnezzar. In the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar, he was the most powerful man in the world at one point. You know, so powerful that he was like, you know, he was known for his gold, and he wanted everybody to erect, you know, statues to him. And it was, he was a guy that started to, you know, think, you know, hey, it's all me. Look at all this that I did. He forgot that God placed him there and that God could take it away. He has this terrible dream about this great big tree that grows up and it's massive, and it reaches, you know, it reaches acres, and birds and beasts and everything, they take their shelter and they get food from it, much like this banyan tree. And then God says, you know, it's going to be set to the ground. He had this dream where it was cut to the ground, to the root, to the stump. And he was upset, and he needed somebody to tell him what this dream meant. And the only person that could, because he had astrologers and he had all these people come in, but no one could tell him what this dream meant. But then there was Daniel. Now we know Daniel, right? In the lion's den. And we've been talking a little bit about how you may experience that lion's den, maybe even for real, now that they're talking about fighting in the Colosseum again. But Daniel, he was brought in, and he gave the definition. He actually kind of liked Nebuchadnezzar, sort of like I kind of liked Trump. You know, I kind of warned him. I'm like, hey, maybe if you repent, I did it in the video. I said, maybe if you repent, you won't lose everything. But the stump is still in the ground. Story of Nebuchadnezzar, whether it's the story of Donald Trump or not, it is one that we need to heed. Because in the story, he does become like a beast. And I don't want you to become like a beast, you know? Like, I don't want it, you know, and Daniel didn't want it either. It wasn't like he was a big fan of the guy. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't exactly a righteous, holy man. Didn't really say whether or not, but he's like, please, hopefully this dream is about your enemies and not you. Because you're going to, like, lose everything in an instant. But if you repent, if you say, you know what, Lord, change my heart. Let me serve the people. Let me be a righteous leader. Because that's what ends up happening in the end. Nebuchadnezzar sees that it is the Lord that gives and the Lord that takes away. It is God who blesses and God who curses. It's the Lord that does all of these things. So serve the Lord and you're going to be okay. Love your enemies, even your enemies, as God loves you. Because in so doing, it's like a restoration of your own soul. We gotta forgive, we gotta be kind, and we gotta understand that the old world is gone. There's a new world, there's a new earth, there's a new heaven, and we're entering into it. So when that period of judgment was over for Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar lifted his eyes. It's very symbolic of when you lift your eyes, you're putting your sights on more than yourself. And we all could do that. And my reason returned to me. He started to realize, he's like, oh yeah, that's right, that God. It's time to serve that God. It's not to be corrupt anymore. And I bless the Most High, and I praise and I honored the one who lives forever. And his sovereignty is an everlasting sovereignty, and his kingdoms endure from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does what he wills with the host of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There is no one that can stay his hand or say to him, "What are you doing? What's going on here, Lord?" Nobody can say this. Nebuchadnezzar says, "At that time, my reason returned to me, and my majesty and my splendor were restored." When you start to serve God, when your reason returns to you, your splendor and your majesty, it's restored. "And the glory of my kingdom, my counselors and my Lord sought me out. I was reestablished over my kingdom." Why? Because he humbled himself. And he remembered the Lord. And for the first time, after seeing everything that was taken from him, the Lord gives it back to him. Because he is going to now serve God. Now, I can't say the same for his kids. We'll get into that another day. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and honor the King of Heaven. For all his works are truth and his ways are justice. And he is able to bring low those who walk in pride." So that after what happens with Nebuchadnezzar is very interesting. He loses everything, but then he becomes a beast. And you got a lot of people saying that he's going to come back as this beast who's going to really lay waste to all the people that kind of came against him. In fact, I believe that this is connected to biblical prophecy as well, that, you know, God uses people. I'm not saying he uses the best people, but the picture is clear. I connected Donald Trump to Nebuchadnezzar in this story a while ago. And I said, you know what? The stump is in the ground. Perhaps maybe if you repent, and maybe if you take care of the poor, like Daniel said, and you do the right thing, that kingdom will be reestablished in the future. Many, many years in the future. And it seems like that's happening right now. Seems like this is what's going down. Seems like what happened in Daniel 4:15. "Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth." Leave it in the earth so that one day it can reappear, just like this banyan tree, just like this fig tree. Stumps in the earth. I even wrote this little goofy little poem. I said, "If the tree is not bearing fruit, I'll rip it to the roots in the ground. But a root, I cry, a root will remain safe and sound. And they will become the greatest banyan trees around." Because that's what's going to happen with all of these, you know, these terrible trees. You know what's weird about the, this has nothing to do with all the other, you know, conspiracies that are attached to lie. I've covered them all. But you know what they're saying is really the cause why these fires got so out of control? Wild grass, an invasive grass species that was left unchecked. And I don't know if you know this, but in scripture, man is called like the flower of grass and the grass of the field. In 1 Peter, all people are like grass, but the grass will wither and the flower will fade. But God's word stands true. And I'm telling you, I feel like this is a sign. I feel like this is a symbol. Just as the banyan tree, that tree of life, in the Gita is known to be a symbol and a picture of God's influence in the world. Just as this actual banyan tree, which is so beloved in this area, it represents not material aspiration of people, but they say it represents the spiritual aspiration of people. And it's been burned to the ground because invasive grass was left unchecked. I've been saying this for many years on this channel. I know I make little jokes and I goof around and I have a good time, but let me tell you something. One thing there is no denying is God's influence in my life. There's one thing that there is no denying. It is that I want to serve God. There's one thing that there is no denying. That before every show, I I literally sound the ram's horn because I want to be used by God. I want to share the truth of God. And I believe that the day we're in is a day where we're going to see a huge change. That root, that stump, that's still in the ground. And it's alive. And it's coming back. So, do me a favor, will you? This was a shorter video. I wanted to get this out. I wanted to get this out to you because I really want to give some people some hope. You know, I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I do know it's going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar came in and took care of Egypt the last time. It seems like Nebuchadnezzar's coming in and going to take care of Egypt again. Seems like this is already happening. I don't know if you know this or not, but the one tree that represents Christian influence in the world being burnt down, still alive. Still alive. And perhaps maybe if we stop being so invasive, maybe if we stop being so, you know, unchecked, and we start living a more holy and a more righteous life, the world would become the paradise that God means it to be. And maybe that's what's happening. So before you get all stressed out and you get all freaked out about everything, will you do me a favor? Will you hit the like button? Will you subscribe to the channel? Will you tell your friends? Get yourself a God's Champion mug or a Uranus is a planet mug. Uranus is a planet. Uranus is heaven. Uranus, it literally means heaven in your hand. You can get all of the stuff in the description of the video, the merch, all of this stuff, Patreon if you want, trulyfreehome.com. Get yourself some toxic-free cleaning supplies and skincare and soaps and everything else. All of this stuff helps the channel like you wouldn't believe, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the DMs, I'm grateful for the emails, and I'm grateful for all of you, because I wouldn't be able to do this show if it wasn't for you. So, have the best day ever. I love you all, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
September 10th, Mars hangs closer to the Earth than it has in 6,000 years. Like the light that led men from the East to a child in a manger, it could well be a sign of good things to come. Thomas James shall be his name. The world will change because of him. In the small town of Bethel, in a time not unlike our own, a child with a great purpose is born. Years later, alienated by his peers and abused, Thomas suffers a devastating loss. When it appears he has nothing left to live for in the world, this is when his true calling begins. While trying to escape the sinister powers that be, a terrifying vision haunts him. Miraculous events seem to follow the peculiar young man as he struggles to come to terms with what he was born to do. The stage is set. The time is at hand. The truth will rise and a revolution will begin. The startling revelation of who Thomas James is, truly, will change the lives of those around him and set off a chain of events long ago foretold. There is more to this novel than one might think. Inside these pages hides a treasure just waiting to be discovered. So if you've ever wondered if there's more to life, or why it is we suffer, then this story will not only captivate you, it may just open your eyes to a truth that could set you free. Find out what is in us all that makes us heed the calling.